Welcome back to SharePoint Server 2013 Best Practices. Alongside Brian Alderman, I am merely Christopher Harrison. We left off taking a look at how we were going to get everybody trained up on SharePoint and kind of getting everything moving for the users. But, you know, something tells me that if we actually want them using SharePoint, we should probably install it.
Yeah, it's a weird prerequisite.
Yeah.
I just not figured that piece
out. Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you say we talk about in doing the installation?
All right. Let's walk through some best practices of installing SharePoint. We're going to look at a couple of different ways for deploying SharePoint. You can use PowerShell, or you can walk through the graphical user interface or the user interface, and we're going to talk about some pros and cons of both of those. And we're going to talk about where to use virtualization. So a couple of different components we're going to focus on here in this section here of this course. So first off, on the deployment of SharePoint using PowerShell, so I want to draw your attention to the, I'm going to jump down the bottom bullet first and strongly suggest that you go see this guy right here, which is deploying and managing SharePoint 2013 with PowerShell. Christopher and I put that course together, and that'll give you a bunch of information about your scripted creation of your service applications here, about creation of web applications here.
Yep.
And that's going to make things a lot easier. As I said, there's a couple ways you can deploy and manage SharePoint. One of them is through the GUI. Central Admin after once you get it installed, and then, or you can use PowerShell. We're also going to take a look at a scripted installation of SharePoint, and we're going to talk about where to go find, because there's a lot of different components to that, so we're going to send you in the right direction of where you can find a sample script that will be useful for you for deploying SharePoint using PowerShell. You'll also see that we can back up regular task or automated task, regular perform tasks like backups. We can create that backup environment using PowerShell. You'll see that in this course as well, so if you want to check that out. And the cool thing about scripting your deployment of SharePoint is you can quickly rebuild the farm if you need to. So there's all sorts of reasons for us to use PowerShell to create our farm and make sure it's deployed correctly. And you can see post-deployment of the actual farm, how to work with your apps, your service apps, your web apps, and how to perform backups and those routine automated tasks using PowerShell. And again, I strongly suggest you visit our course on deploying and managing SharePoint 2013 with PowerShell. So with that said, let's talk about a GUI installation. We can also use a graphical user interface for installing SharePoint. Now, one of the first things you want to do is you want to make sure that you use this cautiously, because if you just run through that and you perform what I call a spousal installation. Now, if you've not heard of a spousal installation, whether it be with SharePoint or SQL Server, is when you sit there and you double-click setup and you kick off setup, and then you sit there and you say, okay, 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 okay. Similar to a spousal situation at the home. We want to make sure we avoid spousal installations. So when you're doing an installation of SharePoint, we want to make sure that we don't do a spousal installation, because at the end of that, you're going to run into this farm configuration wizard, and we're not a big fan of that, because that will allow you to quickly set up your service applications. But there's a lot of configuration options, like your databases that end up with GUIDs the size of Texas on them. You want to make sure you avoid that. So you can use PowerShell for performing your service applications instead of using this farm configuration wizard to create your service applications. We've already mentioned the idea when we're running through our installation of SharePoint and creating web apps and creating service apps of having a consistent naming convention. We mentioned that earlier, and where that's helpful with our URLs, our database names, our app pool names, and even our managed paths. This makes it easier for us for troubleshooting, or if you inherit a system, you know exactly where to go, because it's very intuitive to you that the web app is called MVA demo. Very easy for me to say.
Yeah, easy for you to say.
Yeah, exactly. And the database names have that same name, and I'm not going to try to say that again. And our application pool name, if we create a new app pool name, that has the same name. So it's easy for us to say, oh, these are all components of this web app that are working together. It allows it to make it easier for us for troubleshooting. Now, if you walk through a GUI install of SharePoint, the Central Admin Content Database gets this GUID on the end of it. If you visit my website, macrotechpoint.com, and you check out my Brian's blog, there's an article out there, a blog post, on how to rename that Central Admin Database So it doesn't have that GUID on there. There's a separate article for renaming your web application content databases. So if you want, if you're in a situation where you've already run into this, like, oh, I got this huge GUID on the end of my central admin content database, I've got the steps out there posted for you to allow you to rename that to a more user-friendly name. So just in the event you got stuck walking through the SharePoint installation.
Yeah, I think we would all agree, though, that the easiest way to handle it is not to put yourself into that situation in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely take a look at using scripts to do the installation. Because the nice thing about that is not only are you going to avoid GUIDs, you're going to be able to stick with the naming conventions like MVA demo. And
easy for you to say.
Hey, you know. on top of all of that, you know, you're going to have those scripts that you'll be able to go back to later on. So that way, in case of disaster, or maybe when you decide to upgrade to whatever the next version of SharePoint winds up being, that maybe you want to set up a test environment so that way you can simulate the upgrade. You can walk through those scripts and create a brand new virtual environment that mirrors the one that you already had deployed for production. So definitely take those time to take that little extra time to do it with a script, and in the long run, your life's going to be much better.
Yes, agreed. So we've gone through a couple different ways for deploying that, using the GUI, using PowerShell. Obviously, we're both leaning towards the PowerShell deployment of SharePoint. The other big consideration at this point is the virtualized environment. So we want to make sure we take into consideration what options we want virtualized versus physical servers. So what we have here is an option for us to suggest is to use the bottom-up approach with your virtual machines. I'm going to go back to a slide we saw earlier just to remind you what components you should consider virtualizing. One of the big things we want to make sure is that we have enough memory on your host for all of the virtual servers. So you may have a physical server hosting your virtual server. So you may have a half a dozen virtual servers, but the physical server itself doesn't have enough memory. Make sure that the physical server hosting your virtual servers has the appropriate amount of RAM. Otherwise, you're going to have poor performance, and it's not going to look good for SharePoint. One of the things with SharePoint 2013, you can't use dynamic memory on your virtual servers with that because there is a performance degradation with search and distributed cache. So be very, very careful about the use of dynamic memory.
I have to admit, because I was having a sip of water when Brian said that, and I nearly did a spit take.
You did.
simply because I ran into that exact problem that I sat down, I wanted to set up a dev environment. And so thinking on a dev environment, well, I really don't care too much about the performance. I mean, I want it to be quick enough, but I don't care too much. So I went in and I just configured it to use virtual memory. And this was the slowest system that I had ever seen in my entire life. And the problem is that, you know, SharePoint wants a lot of memory. I think we can all agree on that. And the problem with that virtual memory is your Windows then has to keep requesting, or Hyper-V has to keep detecting the fact that it needs to increase. And all of that time is just going to slow things down. And on top of that, depending on what else you've got going on, your SharePoint system can wind up being starved out when it comes to memory, because other systems might be using it, might have gotten to that memory first. So yeah, don't use dynamic memory, even on dev, when it comes to setting up your SharePoint systems.
And you're speaking with that painfully from
yes,
painful
yeah,
experience.
That's
like
personal experience
exactly.
Speaking right there, yes.
Well, to help with that virtualization world, there's a Hyper-V Best Practices Analyzer, or BPA. I strongly suggest that you grab that. We've used this in the past, and we like the idea that identifies your configurations that are not in compliance with the Microsoft best practices that we're talking about. So if you're going to deploy SharePoint and you're going to on Hyper-V, run this Best Practices Analyzer so you have an idea as to, okay, if I run it on this particular environment, these are some situations that Microsoft has identified as not being in the best practice realm. So we want to make sure we take advantage of this tool to make sure we are optimizing our environment and deploying SharePoint in an environment that allows us to take advantage of this virtualized world. And there's a link to that environment or that BPA. If you want to grab that right here, you can just go out and grab that BPA from that link that's shown here. Now, this we've already looked at, but because we're talking about virtualization, I wanted to come back and just totally remind you about this right here. This is the main column as far as what we want to virtualize are these items here, and these other items are still considered standard. Now, there could be some discussion about whether some of these can't be virtualized, specifically the database environment now. But this is just generally speaking for SharePoint 2013 on the types of roles in the SharePoint 2013 world that is definitely primo for making sure for using virtualization versus, maybe not so much. There might be some discussion or some disagreement as far as whether or not we want to use that virtualized world. And if we are going to use virtualization, make sure we go across these columns here and make sure we understand that those machines that we're creating for virtualized servers inside of SharePoint are meeting these requirements. Otherwise, you're going to have this virtualized world, which is good, but it's not going to be optimal because we're not meeting the requirements for the virtual servers. So I wanted to just show you that one more time before we're talking about that. So let's go ahead and take a look at automated SharePoint installation. We're going to go out to a TechNet site. And when we get out here, this is where I would start. If you want to look at PowerShell for an environment for us to use, this is a step-by-step automated unattended scripted SharePoint installation with auto SP installer. So they left out the T there. I just want to, it is really SharePoint. It's not a new version coming out. And this walks you through. It provides you a diagram of what you want to, what you're going to deploy. And it gives you information about service accounts. It talks about how to set those up in Active Directory users' computers and what control is required using a delegation control wizard. So it walks you through all that and creating the app environment or the service accounts. And then to continue down through, I won't walk you through the entire environment here, but it has the scripts available for you to download, and then you can then use those for deploying your SharePoint 2013 environment. So take a look at this link here. And I had a hyperlink up there, but this is where you want to go and check this link out to make sure that you have this information that you can use for downloading and deploying SharePoint 2013 using a virtual environment or using a scripted environment. So we got to take a look at SharePoint deployment using both PowerShell and the GUI interface, and we talked about some specific concerns you would have in a virtualized SharePoint environment. So with that, Christopher and I are going to take a short break, as you should as well, and we're going to come back in just a few moments, and we're going to continue our conversation about best practices with SharePoint, and we're going to talk about using the best practices specifically with the updates that Microsoft provides us with their products.